This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, the news is weird. There's a bunch of stuff that is breaking as we speak, and it's all very strange. TMZ had the first one, and it's a story about a guy who's on ghost adventures. It's not the main guy. It's not Zach Baggins. It's his buddy, Aaron Goodwin, who has been, I think Aaron's been on that show since the beginning. But we've had Zach on with us a couple of times when they've got, you know, interesting things or new seasons coming up. I don't think we've ever talked to Aaron here on the show, but he apparently was part of an alleged murder for hire plot against him. It was his wife who was, she had learned about some guy who was in prison by way of a true crime documentary, and she said she became pals with him while he was behind bars. And things progressed to the point where Victoria, the wife, decided that she wanted to kill Aaron and provided information about his location and set times in California while he was filming Ghost Adventures. They said his wife and the guy who was in prison, whose name is Amato, set aside $11,515 to pay a hitman. And Amato messaged someone about the alleged plot. This is all from TMZ, texting them, "He's asleep right now in the hotel room. I need to know what's going on. Can I get an update? Was it done?" And the answer to that is no, because Aaron is still very much alive. But wow. Get a divorce. I mean, she wanted out of the marriage. Does she know there are ways to do that where you don't have to kill anybody and don't end up in prison?
I don't mean to sort of beat a dead horse here, but once again, this is a story that sounds like it's coming out of a TV show.
I know. Wow.
It's very appropriate for TMZ to be the one breaking that, will say.
Yeah, I mean, this is custom made for TMZ, absolutely. But let's see. Shapiro says, "Amato enjoys the spotlight and was speaking to Paramount Plus producers about the documentary while he was in jail for the murders." Yeah, because the Son of Sam laws say that you can't profit off of it, but they don't say you can't do it. I mean, if all you want is somebody looking at you, you can do whatever you want. He says he's not surprised Amato was allegedly involved in the murder for hire plot because he likes attention and wants to feel useful. You know, shovel somebody's driveway for him. You know, there's other ways to feel useful, too. But yeah, waiting to see what the charges are behind all of this.
That definitely is going to get like one of those 30 for 30 type TV shows, you know, where it's like four episodes and they're all an hour long.
And besides, the guy's a ghost hunter. Wasn't she worried that if she had him off, he'd come back and haunt her?
Yeah. Out of all the people.
There's all kinds of reasons why this is a really bad idea. Thankfully, again, Aaron Goodwin is fine and probably headed for divorce fairly quickly. That said, we also have news coming out of the NFL, a little bit of Chiefs news for you. They have added some depth in the defensive backfield. Cornerback Christian Fulton, who up till now was a Tennessee Titan and then a Los Angeles Charger last year, is now a Kansas City Chief. He signed a 2-year, $20 million deal, guarantees him $15 million. He played 15 games in 2024, finishing the season with 51 tackles and one interception. And according to KNBC, he will join already solid Chiefs duo at corner with star Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson. So, yeah, nothing wrong with a little bit of depth in the defensive backfield. Absolutely necessary. So good news there. What else do we have for you? Oh, there has been an update in the DC plane crash, the one where the plane crashed into the helicopter. There's actually a press briefing going on as we speak where they're talking about this. The NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is holding a briefing to provide an update, according again to KNBC, to our friends over at Channel 9. They said the air disaster, the deadliest on U.S. soil since 2001, killed all 67 people aboard both aircraft. We knew that. They're now saying that the helicopter may have had inaccurate altitude readings moments before the crash, and that the crew may not have heard key instructions from air traffic controllers. Okay, that jibes with some of the things that we already knew about this, because there was an indication that shortly before the crash, the helicopter had gained altitude. It had actually gone higher up and was higher up than it was supposed to be flying along that corridor. But if his instruments were telling him you're at 200 feet when he was actually at 350 feet or whatever it was, then yes, that obviously could have been a problem. And the other piece of that where they said the crew may not have heard instructions, they don't normally listen to the same air traffic control frequencies as commercial airliners do. So if the air traffic control guy was on a civilian frequency telling the helicopter to go lower, he may not have heard him. That's all we have so far, but as we said, the briefing is ongoing. So if there's any more news that breaks out of that briefing, we'll certainly let you know. I mentioned this early in the show, and I want to go a little deeper into this just because I think it's incredibly cool. This is one of those, whoever thought about this thinks more deeply than most of us do. There's an article that crossed out of NBC in Philadelphia, and it's about an effort in the Internet of Things, which is a term I haven't heard in a while. I remember probably about 10, 15 years ago, that was the big deal. Like at CES, everybody was talking about the Internet of Things and how connected things like your toaster and your fridge and, you know, the little appliances that you normally wouldn't think of having a reason to connect to the Internet are going to go ahead and connect to the Internet. So a breakthrough in that, that's supported by three companies, one of which is going to raise an eyebrow: Qualcomm, which makes all the sense in the world, Intel, and Pepsi. PepsiCo is involved in this. And what they're trying to do, and they think they've been able to do it, is they want to have devices that not only are able to connect to the internet on their own, but also don't have to have a connection to power or a battery. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. How do you do that if you don't have any power? I didn't say they didn't have any power. I said they don't connect to power. What they want to do is allow these batteryless devices to gain electrical power from the outside world in a kind of an ambient fashion. And like I said, this is so high level. This is incredible thinking that went into all of this, because now you're thinking the same thing I'm sure I was, which is, okay, if it's not connected to anything, what do you mean gains power from just ambient stuff? Okay, every time you turn something on, it does two things. It gives off heat, and it usually, even in a very small fashion, vibrates everything. I mean, think about your dishwasher, right? You walk through the kitchen, you know the dishwasher's on. We got a new dishwasher about a year and a half ago, and the thing is almost dead silent. It actually has a light that lights up the floor to tell you when it's on so that you know, yes, it's actually working, because you can't hear it. But if you walk by or you stand in the kitchen, you can feel it in your feet. So that's one of the things. They said using those vibrations for this very, very small amount of electricity that these things will need can actually be done. And they said that's one way to do it. You can also use, like, if you think about your shower has two pipes that come in. One's hot water, one's cold water. Well, if you put something in between there, it can use that temperature differential to power itself. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know how that happens, You know, whether that's some kind of chemical generation of electricity or how that works, that it can take those temperature differences and turn that into electrical power. But they say with a lot of these things, they need microvoltage. It's tiny, the amount of electricity that they use. So using those ambient sources can give them enough so that they'll never have to be plugged in. They'll never have to have any internal battery. They can just work off of the world around them. I'm floored. I know, I mean, a lot of this techno geek stuff, not everybody gets into, but when the world changes like that and somebody figures out, oh yeah, we don't need more electrical generation. We don't need more electricity generated. We just need to use some of the things that are already out there and already happening and turn it back into power. Because the idea of electricity or of energy changing state like that, we all know that's how that works. You go from kinetic energy to electrical energy to whatever. So this is just taking advantage of something that we already knew in a very small fashion to just get free energy from wherever. That's how you measure how efficient something is. It's like you think of how inefficient internal combustion engines are. I mean, they're at peak, I think they're like 35% efficient, meaning you lose 65% of the power, and most of it you lose through heat because, I mean, think of how hot an engine gets, right? And that's just waste. That's absolute wasted energy. So if there's a way to turn that into, running your car heater, why not? And that's why your car heater runs off of the same antifreeze that that keeps your engine cool. But yeah, this kind of technology just absolutely blows me away because somebody was sitting on their couch and, turned an appliance on and felt those vibrations and went, I'll bet there's a way to use that to make things more efficient. We need more people thinking in that direction.
When I was on the sports side, I was given the nickname the old soul.
Yeah.
And I'd like to transition that over to this side because when I hear about appliances being hooked up to the internet, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
I get it.
I do not want my stove or my fridge or like my home HVAC system like connected to the internet because I'm still a fan of the old buttons and dials on that side. It's like I just don't think there are certain things that just don't need that capability. Now, on the flip side, that other part is awesome to be able to use some of the wasted
energy,
vibrations and energies and to be able to transition that into useful. That sounds awesome. But I do not want to buy appliances that are connected to the internet.
No, I get it completely because you know where that's going to end up. Where that ends up is more directed advertising at you. And don't we need more of our stuff tattling on us about what we buy and what we don't, and then telling somebody else that so that they can show us more advertising. That said, here's some more advertising. We'll do some more talking coming up. Sean Grayson here with you, 913-586-7798. Everybody's going to hear all the same ones, though, so it's cool. More to come. I actually heard this song yesterday for the first time in forever. Weird how things work out. Speaking of songs, right after the bottom of the hour, we have all kinds of guests. You picked a good day to listen in on KMBZ for a couple of reasons. So just about 10 minutes away from now, we're going to bring in Delaney Buffett, who is Jimmy Buffett's daughter. She's got a brand new movie out called Adult Best Friends. It's great. I'll tell you a funny story about that movie here in just a second. But later on today, and I am completely jealous, everybody's got their celebrity crushes, right? Quentin, who's your celebrity crush? Who like is out there that you're like, oh yeah? I mean,
back in middle school, when the Transformers came out, the original Transformers movie, like live action one, it was Megan Fox.
Megan Fox, of course.
I just watched the later seasons of New Girl for the first time, and she's in that TV show. And let me tell you, still Megan Fox.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, that's what's her name, Zooey Deschanel, who's the star of that, right? Of New Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I always thought she was cute. But when I was probably about 14, maybe, there was a movie that came out. And I think it might have been like a made-for-TV movie. And it was called Quarterback Princess. And it was about this girl at a high school who she could throw the ball like crazy. But nobody wanted her to play because, ew, a girl on a boys' football team? Ew, it was terrible. And she ends up winning the big championship. And, it's this big exalting thing. And it was one of the first times that I ever saw Helen Hunt. And I had a crush on Helen Hunt from that day. I was like, wow, she's cute. And so that's it. She's going to be at Comic-Con here in Kansas City coming up in the not too distant future. She will also be on with Dana and Parks this afternoon. So
sounds like you need to stick around a little bit.
No, I think I better not do that is what it comes down to. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing that. She's awesome. And so, yeah. See, and I mentioned Delaney Buffett. I was going to tell you a story and now I can't remember what it was. I guess we'll have to save that for another time. But yeah, so she'll be with us. We'll tell you all about Adult Best Friends. And in the meantime, I got a couple of things to toss in your direction. There's another article that I happened upon this morning out of NPR. And it's about, and there's a Missouri connection to this as well. It's about a problem that police are having right now that they're trying desperately to solve. And the problem is that if you have somebody who's driving under the influence of alcohol, that's pretty easy to detect. You can do breathalyzer. You can do blood tests. You know, if somebody refuses a breathalyzer, you go get a court order. You have them you do a blood draw. And those things are very accurate because alcohol metabolizes out of your system very quickly. Not quickly enough for some people, depending on how much you drink, but we're talking about a period of hours that it takes alcohol to metabolize out of your system. And it's a fairly regular curve that goes down from the last thing you drank to when you're perfectly sober again. So they know if they give you a breathalyzer, that's a pretty good indication about how impaired your brain is at that moment. The problem arises in that THC, marijuana, here we go back to pot again, metabolizes very slowly out of your system. It can stay in your system for up to a month. It doesn't normally, but I mean, if you're a chronic user and you do a lot of it, you could stop and then they could still detect minute traces of it because it dissolves into your fat cells, where alcohol doesn't. Alcohol is water soluble, so you just pee it out. Sorry for that, but it's true. So anyway, the problem is you could tell if someone had used THC by doing a blood test. You can also do a spit test. There's other things that you can do. What you can't tell is how long ago they used it and whether they're still high. So it's a real issue now that marijuana is legal in so many states. And cops don't have that tool. So if somebody gets into a wreck and they're just swerving all over the road or whatever, you give them a breathalyzer for alcohol, you can tell if they're drunk. There is no such tool for marijuana, but they're working on one. So the spit test does exist. And like I said, it can tell you that, yes, that person has ingested THC sometime in the last probably week or so, but it can't give you any indication as to what effects it's having on their brain at that moment. So really all they're left with is the same kinds of the physical tests, like when they make you walk the straight line and touch your nose and close your eyes and pick up one foot and all of that. But THC doesn't work the same as alcohol does. It doesn't affect your balance as much. It affects your reaction time. So, yes, driving high is bad. Please don't do that. The work is going on for that kind of a detector that can tell a police officer if you've been smoking pot, if you are still high. And one of the ones that they're kind of testing out right now in the state of Missouri is a set of goggles. And I have to find these things. I have to see what this looks like. It's a set of goggles that measures your pupils and how dilated they are at any given time and how quickly they react to light. So it's just kind of looking, it's trying to use your eyes. It's the stoner eyes thing. But it's using technology to try to do that. I don't know how well it works. But it's just the fact that, again, people are thinking outside the box with this stuff. They need to have those kinds of tools in their arsenal. And it's a tool that just doesn't exist yet. And then I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, no. If you really seriously want to test if somebody's high at the moment, all you do is you unwrap a Nutrageous, and you put it on the dashboard of the car, and you tell them, you have to leave it there for 5 minutes and not touch it. And if they can go 5 minutes without touching the Nutrageous, they're probably not high. If, however, they immediately wait until you turn your back and then grab the thing off the dashboard and down it in two bites, oh, yeah, they're stoned to the gills, man.
I was going to say Taco Bell, but, you know, same
that
difference.
That
there.
Works. Yeah, you could probably do it with a Taco Bell taco, maybe, you know, a Crave case from White Castle, you know, who knows. But there are all kinds of things that you could do that would give you, a really good indication that somebody was still stoned at the moment. They're just thinking in the wrong direction right now. They want technology to do it for them. I say there are better ways. We'll take a brief time out. We've got the bottom of the hour coming up for you, and that means traffic and weather right around the corner. And then right after that, a conversation with now movie co-writer, actor, director, and producer, Delaney Buffett. Jimmy Buffett's, I believe she's his youngest daughter, although I could have that wrong. We'll find out together in just a couple. Delaney Buffett will be here with us to talk about adult best friends and plenty more on the way. Stick with us.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's Almaced.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new movie called Adult Best Friends. And when I say given us, I mean exactly that. Producer, director, co-writer, and star of the movie, Delaney Buffett. What a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I want, for people who have not yet heard of or are aware of the film, to have you just kind of take us through it a little bit and describe the plot of the film and what Adult Best Friends means to you, where you were taking us on this journey.
So Adult Best Friends is a movie that I made with my actual best friend, Katie Corwin, who she co-wrote it with me. And it is about a woman who gets engaged and she's afraid to tell her best friend. So she takes her on a trip to break the news and things don't go as planned. So it's a comedy. And yeah, it's just sort of about the evolution of of friendship from childhood to adulthood.
Yeah, and it's subject matter that, I mean, it takes us through this really wild journey through that weekend, you know, that sort of lost weekend and everything that happens there, and the relationship between Katie and her betrothed, which kind of hits the skids a little bit too. And what impressed me about this is that there were a lot of paths that I've seen independent films take that you didn't take in this movie, and I was really happy to see that. Was that a sort of a conscious decision to try to not be like other stories that we've seen before?
Yeah, I think when we set out to make it, we weren't trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel in terms of plot. Like, I think we wanted it to just be a story about friendship. And you know, there have been stories about female friendship and friendship and similar to this. But I think what we really wanted was we wanted to just make it a comedy, like a nostalgic sort of 2000s comedy, which I don't think you see as much in independent film anymore. And our purpose of making this was just to really get our comedic voice out there. And so that was sort of a conscious choice in terms of not making it too serious of a subject. And there's some great, you know, Little Miss Sunshine and very great comedies in independent space. But I think we really wanted to take it and just kind of make it a simple story that, you know, was about us, but also had a universal theme to it that we hope people can relate to.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I think for men, we have Judd Apatow, basically, you know, who makes all of these movies sort of defining what it means for men to be friends. So in exploring this and in writing this with Katie, did you discover things about your own friendship?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're stronger than ever. You know, we've been friends since we were 10 years old, so it's been 23 years, and something like this, I think working together always tests a friendship, but we were so supportive of one another and still are, and are still doing press, and it's a long journey, and to be able to do it with someone is so amazing. And then that person being your actual best friend is even better. So I think we discovered that, you know, we had a really, really strong foundation, and so much history together that we were kind of, I don't mean, knock on wood, unbreakable in this moment.
Yeah.
Even with all the stressors, you know?
That's really great to hear. And the other thing is, I went into this completely blind. I just wanted to start the movie, didn't want to read anything about it, just wanted to start the movie and see where you were going to take me. And then all of a sudden, Katie's brother shows up, I'm looking at Zachary Quinto, and I'm going, whoa, time out. Nobody told me about this. How did that happen?
So our producer, Marie Nikolova, who I also went to college with, she's also one of my closest friends. She works for Zach and has worked for Zach. And so we've done projects and developed projects with Zach that haven't really come to fruition. But we love him and he's been an incredible mentor of sorts. And so when we told Marie, we were like, we want you to produce this. We would love if Zach would have a role. She was like, okay, we'll write him a role and then I'll show it to him and we'll see. And we got to develop that character with him, which is one of my favorite characters. And he normally doesn't do comedy, but he is so funny. And I think he's incredibly funny in this. No, but unbiased, obviously. But
yeah,
so that's sort of how that came about, was our friend Marie really brought everything together.
And there's this sequence in the movie, not to give too much away, but there's this sequence where all of the characters have to all of a sudden face themselves. And it's a sequence that takes maybe 5 minutes, maybe a little bit more than that, but it's so important to moving the film forward. And that's, as a director, tell me a little bit about what that's like to try to make that all happen, make it make sense, and have all of this incredible action going on at one time in the movie. That doesn't seem easy to put together.
No, it doesn't. And it's not easy. And I think I know what scene you're referring to without giving too much away.
Yes.
We have a really great cast and it is very difficult to have 8 actors in the same space and have a chaotic scene and also have to thread the line of humor and heart pretty, you know, finely and strategically. And so that scene in particular, when you have 8 actors and it was the climax of the movie. And, you know, I think I always wanted, and I was given the advice of like, humor is important in a comedy, but always, always don't forget the story. And so I think I had to focus on the fact that that was the climax in terms of the comedy for in a lot of ways, but also it was for the heart and the journey of mine and Katie's relationship. So that was really important, was to sort of like see that still as the purpose. And I think when I'm dealing with scenes that feel chaotic, I always return to like the purpose of the scene. Why did we write this? Because you can so easily get lost in the comedy, and I love to laugh. So like I automatically am like, okay, I want to make this as funny as possible. But in the end, you know, Katie and I always really have to return to, when we're writing, what is the purpose of this scene? Because it's not going to work without structure or purpose. And then you can sprinkle the comedy on top.
That's great. Delaney Buffett again is with us, and the movie is Adult Best Friends. And if you heard her last name and started thinking of a certain singer, you're absolutely right. She is Jimmy Buffett's daughter. The movie is dedicated to your dad. And yes, some of his music does show up. And the one particular harbor scene, oh Lord, was that well done. I mean, that was just beautiful. But tell me about that and about using his music to try to tell your story.
Yeah, I think, you know, I always wanted to put his music in there. And then when we were writing it, it was always going to be playing on the jukebox in the bar. The bar that was the only thing that they played was Jimmy Buffett. And I always thought that was kind of funny. And I thought he would think that was funny as well. And so it was supposed to just sort of be light in the background. And then once he passed and we were in the edit, I think I wanted to have more of a noticeable tribute to him. And we were cutting that montage together. And that montage actually is all outtakes, because we didn't have time to shoot a montage. So that's all outtakes of us in the bar, which is, so it wasn't even planned. So it actually was like a really beautiful thing that it came together. And then we cut it to that song, and it cuts into the next scene so perfectly as well. So it kind of felt like kismet in that way. And so yeah, it was supposed to be more of a subtle thing. And then I wanted it to be more of a tribute to him. And I thought it was fun to cut that montage at that bar to it. And it just felt like the right moment.
And there's one other character that I wanted to ask you about, because he is so just absolutely bizarre. His name is Dougie, and he is the host in this sort of house rental that you guys go to for the weekend. Is Corey Walls is his name?
Corey Walls, yeah.
Tell me,
my very good friend.
Where did you... Wow. I mean, he nails that character, and he's so weird, and it's got to be, again, tough to write something like that, that without it going completely off the rails, to have somebody be that weirdo in the background of the film.
Yeah, so Corey Walls is a close friend. He's also a writer, and I think he's the funniest person I've ever met, personally, and interested in himself. And I think, you know, every single actor has a very specific brand of comedy in this movie. They're all very different styles. And we wrote that character for Corey because we knew he could do it. And he is such a specific type of funny. But with everyone, you know, you have to let them go as far as they can go with their character, as far as they can go with their humor, and then also rein them in a little bit. So when you're in the edit, you kind of have like, okay, this is the wildest version of this character, but also we need to find moments where we can ground them. So you actually, you know, they feel like a real person. 'Cause I know people have had crazy Airbnb experiences, myself included. But we were very lucky that we wrote a lot of it for our friends. And so we had their comedy in mind when we were writing it, which it's easier to sort of find their voice and, you know, be like, oh, you know, it would be amazing if Corey played a bizarre Airbnb host. And he nailed it. And he's so funny. And you know, I think he's the funniest person ever. So it's just the ability to write that role, for him to bring it to life, and for people to respond to it the way they've been responding to it is so amazing, because, yeah, you know, it is like a roll of the dice. It's a risky, you know, it's a funny role, and it's really out there, but I love it. And we've always, you know, for it to be Corey and to be our friend and to actually act in the scenes with him was so great.
Excellent. And tell us where we can send people to see Adult Best Friends.
Yes, so it is out today, and it is available for rent or purchase on Amazon. And also, please share it with your friends or watch it this weekend. It's a great couch movie. It's a great way to spend a weekend and unwind. But yeah, it's available today for rent on Amazon and Apple.
Excellent. And not to get too maudlin, but your dad's music has been a part of my life since I was 5.
Well, thank you.
And my dad and my life would not have been the same without him. And I have to say that the gem on Fruitcakes is Delaney Talks to Statues. It's always been one of my favorite songs. It's absolutely beautiful. And I just, it did my heart good to see this movie, to see that it was as good as it was, and just to hear that music again. So thank you for that, and thank you for making this one. I think this was a really just an incredible effort. I love it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Delaney Buffett, thank you so much for being with us. There's plenty more to come. John Grayson here with you on 98.1 KMBZ. Into the final segment of the show. Boy, another one just flew by on us. So thank you for that, and thank you for making that happen. A couple of stories to tell you about before we take our leave. Boy, did high school sports just go off the rails again. Yikes. Okay, so you know how, don't you hate it when you go to see a track and field event and the cops get called?
I'm so happy we got this story in today because I just can't believe I saw the video.
Did you watch it? I'm glad you watched the video.
I cannot believe, like, this. I had to watch it like four times to, like, I can't believe it.
This is absolutely incredible. So the Virginia High School League, the VHSL, had their Class 3 state indoor championships last weekend. And during the 4x200 relay, there was a Brookville High School junior by the name of, what is her name? Her last name's Tucker. And she was running, she was running in the relay. So, you know, everybody's got the baton and it's getting near the end of the race. They're in that back turn and she comes around the outside. So you've got a young lady who's in the innermost lane by the name of Alaya Everett. And you have this other girl who goes to go around her. So you've got Alaya in the inside lane. She's in the second lane in and goes to pass her on that curve. As she does, Alaya Everett, the one on the inside lane, her arm comes back like you do. And then as her arm comes forward again, because she's pumping her arms and she's got the baton in her outside hand. So the one that's right next to the girl that she's running next to. So her arm comes back. And when it comes forward again, her baton kind of gets stuck in the elbow of the girl to her right. And when that happens, she pulls it back again and hauls off and wails that girl in the head. And I mean, just no mercy, just took that baton and whack. And the craziness of this is that, according to the father, the police are now looking into this as a possible assault, which, I mean, to my eye and seeing that thing, not only in regular, but also in slow motion, it is absolutely that. They said that the blow left Tucker with a concussion and a possible skull fracture.
She was hit so hard that she was in the third lane, I believe. She was hit so hard, she went like towards the field. She crossed every single lane.
And went into the middle to fall down. Just incredible. And now, the wild part about this is, of course, the girl who swung the baton at her is attempting to defend herself and saying, no, 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 it's not what it looks like. And she said that she just lost her balance, that when the baton came forward and got stuck in the other girl's elbow, that she just lost her balance and she was trying to right herself. And that's when she ended up accidentally hitting her in the head. I would encourage you to watch the video. Let's see, TMZ has it because, of course, they do. There is no way that was anything but an intentional swing and came down directly on the head. And I don't know whether it was because she was angry that her baton got stuck or whether she was angry because this girl was passing her at the time. But whatever the reason was, she just hauled off and cracked her across the head with it. And yeah, right now, the victim's family are asking for an injunction to keep, they've got a protective order. They want them kept apart at any upcoming competitions because there is another one on the horizon not too far away. So the girl who swung the baton said she has attempted to reach out to Tucker to apologize, but said she's been blocked on her social media. Yeah, you know what? I would too. Let's see. IC Norcrum. I don't know who that is, but they said somebody was disqualified from the event following Everett's actions. And that's her high school. Okay. Yeah. So her entire high school was disqualified from the events that took place at the championships. Wow. I mean, I've seen a lot of things and I've seen a lot of dirty play. I've seen a lot of things go on in high school sports that were completely out of bounds. I've never seen anything quite that blatant. she's got a lot to answer for in this business of, oh, I didn't mean to hit her. Like I said, I would highly encourage you to watch the video. TMZ, to their credit, they have it like three separate times at three different speeds and from at least two different angles inside that story. So you get a real clear view of what happened there. Quentin, you watch it. Do you have any inclination that that was in any way accidental?
If it was an accident, you know, she would have hit her in like the back or the leg, because in theory, if you're falling, you know, your like front part of your body is going to move forward. And the way she was holding the baton, she would have like smacked her on the hip.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can see she wings her arm back, her left arm back, and pops her right on the back of the skull, because she was right behind her on the track next to her.
Yes.
So she was like maybe a foot behind her when she was able to swing and hit her on the back of the head.
And she turns her body. I mean, it's one of the, like you do when you're really trying to haul off and hit something, you turn your shoulders in the direction of the arm that you're swinging. She did that before that blow came down. Yeah, that was, I don't see anything accidental in that whatsoever. So we'll follow this one. And if charges are indeed filed, we'll let you know between now and the end of the week. Meanwhile, in Florida, because, you know, we can't go a day without having at least one Florida man story. There's a gentleman, 35 years old, from Somersworth, who was arrested on Sunday after fleeing the scene of a crash in Dover. I've been to Dover, Florida, and I know that sounds like bragging, but trust me, it isn't. So this guy fled the scene of a crash and was found kind of ping-ponging through highway traffic naked. About 3:15 p.m., police received several reports of a man causing an interruption to traffic on Route 16 in Dover. Multiple passing drivers said that the man was naked and running or walking within the travel lanes of Spalding Turnpike.
Spalding!
Troopers quickly located the man and took him into custody. With assistance from officers from the Dover Police Department, he was transported to an area hospital for treatment of minor injuries that he sustained in the crash. So here's what they say happened. That he was involved in this wreck, and he was still clothed at the time. So he decided to leave the scene of the crash on foot, presumably because he caused the wreck. I don't know that. That's not part of the reporting, but why else would you leave the scene? So he decided to flee the scene on foot. And while he was walking away, he discarded his clothing on the shoulder of the highway. So he's stripping himself down naked while he's walking away. The greatest part of this story, by the way, and he does have a hearing scheduled May 13th at 8:30 a.m. Set your calendars now. But the greatest part about this story is that this man's name, the naked man in traffic in Dover, is Sean P. Wiener Sr. Uh-huh. So Mr. Wiener was walking around naked in traffic, and yes, only in Florida. Dana and Parks up next. Do not miss this one. The lovely and talented Helen Hunt will be their guest on the show. That and plenty more coming your way just ahead. Stick around on 98.1 KMBZ. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.